I want to ask you a question now. When you came to the worship assembly, did you bring your best to the Lord? I want you to think about it. Did you bring your best to the Lord? Now, we live in a day where people view religious assemblies as just another social event. And it's often something that's just a part of their lives. Quite often, people take it very casually, and they approach worship in a very casual way, in both attitudes, actions, and apparel. There's no longer any great respect for going to the assemblies where God is to be worshipped. For many people, it's a time to see their friends and to look for business contacts, to meet the family before going out to dinner, or to show off their fancy clothes at Easter or Christmas, at least twice a year. For some people, it is the time to catch up on the local church gossip. And the fact is, brethren, God is our Heavenly Father. That's the thing that we have to keep in mind. He is the Creator of all things. He has given eternal life through the death of His Son, Jesus Christ. It is our duty to understand the importance of what we do when we come together to worship God. And the question is, are we bringing our best to the Lord? That's the question. With this thought in mind, I want to begin a three-part series on bringing your best to the Lord. I want to talk about three different things. First of all, bringing our best praise and adoration to the Lord, which we're going to do this evening. Second, bring our best worship to the Lord. And third, bring our best to worship. The meanings of these will become apparent as we develop the series of lessons. But let us begin the study by looking at our need to bring our best praise and adoration to any and all worship assemblies. Bringing praise and, you know, we're going to talk first of all about definition of three words. I think we need to get the three words defined in order to understand what we're doing. The first word is extol. The Hebrew word translated extol is defined as a primary root to be highly active, to rise or raise in various applications, literally or figuratively. David, in our reading, wrote, "I will extol you, my God, O King." The idea of David was to speak well of Jehovah God. David would raise up the Lord by telling of His majesty and His greatness. In David's efforts to express high thoughts of God, he would be attempting to raise high thoughts of God in the minds of others. Quite often, we in conversation about those whom we respect and admire will extol or speak highly of their virtues and abilities and talents and so forth. And the second word is bless. The Hebrew word translated by the word bless is to kneel by application to bless God as an act of adoration, and vice versa, man as a benefit. Now, this Hebrew word is used within the Old Testament, and it definitely reveals that the word can be used either for blessing God or blessing man. It can be either way. David wrote in Psalm 145:1, "I will extol you, O my God, O King, and I will bless your name forever and ever." Regarding this statement, Mr. Charles Spurgeon wrote, "David determined that his praise should rise to blessing, should intelligently spend itself upon the name or character of God and should be continued world without end. He uses the word bless not merely for a variation of sound, but also the deepening and sweetening of the sense. To bless God is to praise Him with a personal affection for Him and wishing well to Him. This is a growingly easy exercise as we advance in experience and grow in grace. This is from the Treasury of David, which is totally devoted to the Psalms. David spoke of blessing the Lord's name forever. David spoke of the greatness of God because of the adoration he had and the love he had for God. Now, the third word is praise. The Hebrew word translated praise means to celebrate, to glory, to sing, or sing praise, to boast. Now, the meaning of to praise is actually the meaning of the intensive form of the Hebrew verb halal, which is in its simple form, it means to boast. That's from Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words. To state it very simply, we see that for David to praise the Lord, David would boast of the Lord. David would speak or sing of that which makes the Lord worthy of boasting or being able to speak highly of Him. Now, the Lord's attributes are worthy of boasting or praising. The Lord's greatness is worthy of boasting or praising. The Lord's graciousness and mercy and justice, these are all things in the Psalm you have before you there. These all are worthy of boasting or of praising. Now, in review, David would extol the name of God, speaking highly of the great name and lifting it above all others. David would bless the name of the Lord as well as bless the Lord Himself. David would express his deep felt adoration for the Lord. And he would praise the Lord's name as well as praise the Lord Himself. David would boast of the great things that the Lord has done. He would boast of the Lord's greatness, mercy, graciousness, long-suffering, and justness. David would boast of the Lord and His great name. Now, with this understanding in place, let's consider David's praise for the Lord as it's found in Psalm 145. The three words which we define by the beginning of this lesson are found in the New King James Translation. Extol being used once. And by the way, extol, I'll stop there for a moment, but pig. Extol is only used two times in the Old Testament. Once here and once in another psalm. Very interesting. But used once in this place, praise is used five times. And bless is used four times. Now, let's examine this psalm and consider how David praised the Lord. Okay? First of all, we have the intent to praise the Lord. That is in verses 1 through 3. David declared his intent to lift up the name of the Lord, speak highly of the Lord's name. And he determined that the Lord to praise the Lord forever and ever. Verse 1. Then we see our first example of David's praise for the Lord. David said, "Great is the Lord, greatly to be praised, and His greatness is unsearchable." Notice the choice of words. He is great. He is greatly to be praised. Of His greatness of unsearchable riches. These are all things that David used to describe the Lord. Then, second section, is David stating his reasons why the Lord is to be praised. In verses 4 through 9, Notice, one generation would praise or speak highly of the Lord's works and declare his mighty acts. Notice, this is a generation that does not pass by without taking note of God and the works that he has done and the mighty works that he has accomplished. David would meditate. David was a big one for meditating. David would meditate on the glorious splendor of his majesty as well as his wonderful works. Verse 5. David said that men would speak of the Lord's awesome acts and declare his greatness. Now, this is men in general. Not men who surrounded David, but men in general. Why? Because God's works are obvious. His works are obvious. And they will be noticed, and they will be will declare them to be great. Then the Lord, I forgot about the memories too. They would declare his memories. Did I get one page off here? You don't have any idea how hard this is. Lord's awesomeness, okay. And men with utter memories. Verse 7. Yeah, there we go. Yeah, there we are. Men would utter the memories of your goodness and sing of your righteousness. Now, in stating more of the Lord's praises, we see that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. This is something that came out in the psalm we talked about this morning, if you remember. God is gracious and full of compassion. This is something that is very important in the work of David and the writings of David. Then, in this section, all of the Lord's works, all of his works, and his saints will bless the Lord. And they are, of course, to bless the Lord is to do all his good works and his tender mercies. The third section, verses 10 through 13, I get myself up to date here, 10 through 13, is the section where David speaks of the creation making known the Lord's mighty works. All the Lord's works and saints, his saints will bless him. They speak of the glory of his kingdom. I got one ahead of myself right there. I just forgot that one. Okay, go to verse 14 then. Go down here. His kingdom will uphold those who fall and will raise up those who are bowed down. This is a promise that he makes in this psalm that all of those who have been brought down low will be raised up. We find this repeated in the New Testament with regard to those who submit themselves to God in humility, he will raise up. This is the same type of an idea that we have in this section. Now, the eyes of all look to the Lord in expectation because he will give food to them. He is the source of all good and perfect blessings. And all of the eyes will look to him in expectation because he and he alone can provide for them. The Lord opens his hand and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Verse 16. Now, we're going into a fifth section of this, and David continues acknowledging the love and righteousness of the Lord, verses 17 through 21. Now, I want you to note the following praises expressed in this section. Note, the Lord is righteous in all of his ways. The Lord is gracious in all of his works. The Lord is near to all who call upon him in truth. The Lord will fulfill the desire of those who hear him. The Lord will hear the cries and save those who hear him. The Lord will preserve all who love him. He will destroy all the wicked. And bringing the psalm to a close, David writes, in your mercy, let's see here. Now that's not right. I got the wrong reference down here. I'm sorry. David writes, my mouth shall speak the praise of the Lord, and all flesh shall bless his holy name forever and ever. Now, let's go over here. David mentioned the following, praising Jehovah God. Unsearchable greatness, works, mighty acts, glorious splendor, of his majesty and his wondrous works, might of his awesome acts, greatness, goodness, and righteousness, and graciousness, full of compassion, slow to anger, great in mercy, good to all, tender mercies over all his works, glory of his kingdom, power, everlasting kingdom, dominion enduring forever, upholds all who fall, raises up all who are bowed down, gives food in due season, satisfies the desire of every living creature, is near, fulfills the desire of those who fear him, verse 19, hears their cry and saves them, preserves all who love him, and the last but not least, destroys the wicked. Now, what do we say all this for? What do we say it for? Not just to have something to say. We're talking about bringing our best worship to God. The very best that we have to our God. Now, when we come together to worship God, it is not about us. We are not here to please ourselves or anyone else, as far as that matters, as far as humans go. Worship assemblies are not social events. Worship assemblies are not simply feel-good opportunities. Assemblies for worship are an opportunity for us to praise God, to worship God with adoration, love, and respect. It is a time for us to bring our best praises to the Lord. Now, how do we do that? Well, all of us extol the name of God, speaking highly of his great name and lifting above all other names. How do we do it? We do it whenever we sing praises, psalms, hymns, spiritual songs that acknowledge the greatness of God. We did that this evening in some of our hymns this evening. That is what we do. And let us all bless the name of the Lord as well as bless the Lord himself. It is not enough to bless the Lord. We talked about this morning in Evan's class a little bit. Talked about blessing the Lord and blessing his name. His name is the authority behind it. And whenever we bless him and bless the authority behind his name, we hold him high. We keep him in the high part of our mind. Because he can't get down here where we are. We keep him up there. And we worship him in reverence. We also express to him deep felt adoration. And I don't know how to put this exactly, but it is not merely Oh, how I love Jesus. No, that's not that. Or, Jesus is so precious to me. This is something that comes from deep within you. It is a type of adoration that is the ultimate expression of love. And it's the kind of adoration that causes you to well up with tears during the Lord's Supper. It's the kind of adoration that shows ultimate respect for God. Unwavering respect. Can you not see this in the words of David? Look what we've just covered in this psalm. But that's how David felt about the Lord. Now, let us then praise the Lord's name, praise the Lord Himself, and let us boast of the great things the Lord has done, His greatness, mercy, graciousness, and long-suffering, and justice. Now, how can we do this? How can we do this? We do it by proclaiming His Word. It's one way. We do it whenever we study together and give careful attention to His Word. But we also do it in the sense of the way that we observe the Lord's Supper, the way that we sing, and the way that we pray together. We are, as a people, to be in reverence before God. And that is very serious. It's something that is lacking in so many places. One thing that I believe shows a reverence for the Lord is whenever we come together and it's time for us to begin our worship, we have silence. I noticed it this evening. Just silence. That's the way it should be. Whenever the Lord's Word is being read to us, we have God's Word in front of us. And we're reading it along with Him. That is the way that we show reverence to God. Well, how then are we not showing reverence to God? And what would be the antithesis of this? Well, distractions. Distractions, such as, a video game that you're playing. Not only is it highly rude to be doing such a thing, it is irreverent. We shouldn't do such a thing. Now, I know that when I first started using my Bible, a little PDA. I know most of you don't know what PDA means. When I first started using it on the PDA, everybody thought I was playing a video game when I was reading the Bible. But we're past that now. We're at a time whenever somebody picks up something and starts going through it, we figure they're reading the Bible. But if you're not, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And of course, such things as whispering and note passing and things like this, these are not things that are a display of reverence for God at all. Well, you say, well, I got children. That's right. You do. And you know what? I admire people with children. Had them myself. But you know, it's your job to teach your children to be quiet. And it's a real job. A real job. But it can be done. Teach them to respect God when we come together to worship. I had a bunch of other things in my mind. I should write these things down when I'm thinking of them, but I don't always do that. And when I'm not under the influence of drugs, I really am a mess. I don't mean that in a bad way, but, well, I do mean that in a bad way. But I want us to be impressed with the fact that we bring our best worship to God whenever we come together. Now, the other two lessons in this series are not going to be this type of a lesson because we're not going to be dealing with praise and worship and adoration and so forth. But I hope that this has been a good start for you to think about bringing your best. Is it really your best that you're bringing God whenever you come to worship? If it's not, I want you to think about it because I don't know you what you think about this matter at all because I've not really haven't discussed it with anybody. But, you know, I look at it this way, and I think it's sound. When the Lord commanded Israel to bring sacrifices to God, He commanded them to bring the first fruits and to bring the best of it. No mark, no blemish, nothing. It had to be exactly perfect. And that was what was to be used in worshiping God. I find it rather hard to believe that the same God would now, after he'd given his son as a sacrifice, accept anything less of man than his best. Now, if my reasoning is wrong on that, I want you to point it out to me. I don't think that God has decided that it's hopeless. We can't get the best out of people, so we're just settled for whatever they got. I don't believe that. I believe we need to bring our best to the Lord when we come together to worship. I'm going to leave the lesson with you. Hope it's been interesting and beneficial to you tonight.